This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Well, there's the easy thing.
We don't have to talk about this unbelievable victory. Wasn't it unbelievable? So we don't have to say it again. But it's going to be an unbelievable victory, actually, when we get it through the Senate, and there's so much spirit there.
So much spirit. And then there's the hard thing.
I don't envy the majority leader in trying to cobble together 50 votes for a bill. I think it is extremely difficult, and it's even more difficult if you care about maintaining coverage.
The boyish enthusiasm of President Donald Trump and the very, very hard-fought demoralization of Senator Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, who is hard at work on a Senate version of a health care bill. It's turning out to take more than a Trump rally, some bluster, bluntness, and bludgeoning to get a health care bill that will actually replace Obamacare. The House got a shot, but they're far from success. The Senate wants to have a go, and they've largely done so out of the public eye, choosing not to hold any hearings as they attempt to cobble together the necessary votes from their 52 senators, and largely without the input of the Democratic colleagues. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick has a lot of experience watching the messy legislative process, especially when it comes to health care. Todd, is this very healthy for you to be doing, paying so closely attention to this here?
Well, it feels like a reprise of a process from back in 2009 in some ways, just because there's so much attention on healthcare. But John, this process really is far, far different from the way the ACA, Obamacare, got passed in 2009. What we've seen over the last several weeks in the Senate is a small group of senators going behind closed doors and really meeting three times a week amongst themselves, shooting around ideas. Most of those details have not leaked to the public at all. They have not leaked to the press. And they even haven't leaked to other Republican senators. And you're hearing more and more frustration, certainly among Democrats, as you can imagine, but even among Republicans too. And it's really a lot different from what it was a couple of years ago. We can talk about that. But let me give you a flavor of some of the frustration that's been boiling over among senators as a couple of Republicans, a smallish group of Republicans, maybe a dozen or so, put together what Mitch McConnell says will be their health care proposal. Here's Claire McCaskill. She's a Democrat. She's from Missouri. And she had some pretty harsh words in a hearing the other day.
We have no idea what's being proposed. There's a group of guys in a back room somewhere that are making these decisions. There were no hearings in the House. I mean, listen, this is hard to take because I know we made mistakes on the Affordable Health Care Act, Mr. Secretary. And one of the criticisms we got over and over again that the vote was partisan. Well, you couldn't have a more partisan exercise than what you're engaged in right now.
Now, John, Claire McCaskill went on for several minutes with her criticism of the process, and you might expect that from Democrats. It's true that Democrats have not really been involved in this repeal and replace effort at all. They signaled very early in this process that politically, in terms of policy, they just weren't interested in participating in a repeal of their health care bill.
Although I'm a little surprised that she did the mea culpa. We made mistakes. That was a little surprising.
Well, Democrats have had to acknowledge some of those mistakes because there are parts of Obamacare that aren't working well. Premiums are going up in many places. There are counties across America that have only one or in some cases no insurers who are covering Obamacare-approved plans. So they better acknowledge some shortcomings because it's a law that really needs to be fixed. I think the question among Democrats is why not fix it instead of do a repeal and replace? And we've talked about that. But it's not just Democrats who are angry about this process, John. It's Republicans, too. Ron Johnson is a conservative Republican. He was a Tea Party Republican. He's from Wisconsin. And a bunch of us asked him yesterday how curious he is about what's in the bill that his party is putting together and what he would like to see in it.
All of it. I want to know exactly what's going to be in the Senate bill. I don't know yet.
What does it tell you, though, Senator, that someone like yourself who's going to be voting on it still doesn't know the details?
It's not a good process.
But they're going to see the bill, they'll read the bill, they'll know the details, and then they'll vote.
That's true, except when you compare it to how different this process is for how the Affordable Care Act passed back in 2009, John, the differences are really remarkable. Do keep in mind when you're talking about healthcare, people like to throw around the idea this affects 1/6 of the economy. Healthcare is a giant industry in America. The truth is that the Obamacare exchanges are a lot smaller than 1/6. It's only probably 7 to 10% of patients. But don't forget, there are 50 million Americans on Medicaid, and there's potentially a rollback of the Medicaid expansion at stake here. So it really is tens of millions of people and hundreds of billions of dollars that are at stake. So it really is a big deal. And John, back in 2009, you know, there were two Senate committees that marked up the ACA over a total of 21 days of public legislative markups. There were dozens of other hearings. There were bipartisan talks going on in senators' offices that yours truly staked out for months at a time, as people negotiated with moderate Republican senators like Olympia Snowe from Maine, to an extent Susan Collins, and even a couple of others. None of that is going on now. What you're seeing now is a process that's hidden from all Democrats, hidden from many Republicans, even though they do say they've received some loose outlines of what's being potentially proposed here as Republicans talk to the CBO. And then the plan is to take it right to the floor if there are 50 votes and just vote on it. It's very different.
Right. But do we have any suspicion whatsoever? And your nose is good at this. Are they dealing with any sort of innovation, any kind of new? I mean, we know they're not going to come up with a single payer plan, right?
Right. Definitely.
Okay.
Not.
So we can rule that out. Todd, I talked to a local legislator from the state of Nevada who talked about magically just extending Medicaid. Poof, making it work like that. I mean, any innovation, any surprises? Could they possibly surprise us after all this?
You are seeing more and more Republicans, especially governors across the country, who found religion on Medicaid. The Obamacare legislation, the ACA, gave states, as we know, the ability to expand Medicaid. That was controversial. More and more states have done it, and it's really helped cover millions of people who didn't have coverage before. Now, in terms of innovation, we just don't know. But we do know that Medicaid continues to be controversial. We have a couple of broad ideas of what Senator McConnell and his group of Republican negotiators might be planning. The Republican Senate bill appears to want to roll back the expansion of Medicaid under the ACA, but do it much more slowly than the House. There's been a lot of pressure from governors and from senators that represent those states where Medicaid has been expanded not to cut it off, not even quickly, if they're going to roll back the Medicaid expansion, which is still Republican dogma, to do it much more slowly. It looks like they're going to maintain some of those tax credit subsidies to help people buy insurance, but we don't know how much that will cost, what the subsidies will be worth, or who will get them. There also appears to be some effort to protect guarantees so that insurance companies can't charge you more for pre-existing conditions, but it's far from clear about how that would work, because there's been one or two leaks from one or two senators that there may still be allowed a rollback of essential health benefits where states can opt out of guaranteed, you know, things like maternity care or cancer screening or other tests, still allow states to back out of that. And then insurers could cherry pick patients. It's all really, really unclear. Let me bring you back to Susan Collins, who we heard from at the top. She's a big Republican supporter of Medicaid. Her state has a lot of poverty, expanded Medicaid. And I asked her about sort of the apple cart effect, you know, how hard it is to get a divided Republican conference, even to get to 50 votes here.
It is not an easy task, and you are right that the caucus is not united. There are many members who represent states that expanded Medicaid, and I'm sure their governors are not real thrilled with the idea of the funding for that being abruptly cut off or even phased out over a year or two.
So this can't just boil down to that issue that Susan Collins enumerated there.
No, it doesn't boil down to one single issue. That issue is critical, by the way. It boils down to a lot of issues, and many of which we do not have the answers to yet. What is the overall cost of a Senate proposal? How many people who have coverage now would go without it in 10 years? And then at the basis of all of that, of course, is Republican policy preferences and Republican orthodoxy. Look, this has never been a party that has ever been in favor of large government programs for healthcare or really for anything else. And now they're confronting, John, the politics of having to keep them.
But listen to Collins. Would the GOP actually, and again, I'm not editorializing here, would the GOP actually put up a bill that would allow a state to opt out of prenatal care or oncology screening so that if you have like a tumor in your lung, the hospital would say you got to go to another state?
The politics of health care have flipped, and the politics of the Affordable Care Act have flipped. And, John, you're getting to some of the essential questions for Republicans now. After attacking the Affordable Care Act for those many 7 years since it was passed and having the public on their side because the law was pretty unpopular, all of a sudden it's polling well above 50%. Voters are saying, wait a second, now that you're going to take something away, maybe you should fix the Affordable Care Act. Don't get rid of it. And even though the rhetoric of repeal and replace flies around Capitol and over the news airwaves, really, we might not be talking about an abject repeal in the end. And you've gotten to the heart of the political dilemma here.
You know, now
and I will say one last thing. You ask about essential health benefits. Republicans have committed themselves to lowering premiums, and they're trying to find ways to make sure that that premium charge, that bill that people are paying, goes down. It's not easy. And for every Susan Collins that they satisfy, they get a conservative senator who says, I'm not going for it.
And we should say that Senator Mitch McConnell says he wants to have a bill on the floor and ready to pass by July 4th. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.